Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, in the days after the so-called whistleblower hearing of Congress over Benghazi, we're interested in whistleblowers who come forth with information about UFOs. Peter Davenport?
Yeah, what did you think of this anonymous character, the interview that Richard Dolan had with him, and then it turns out that Linda Howe evidently had met him 20 years ago and had done 3 days worth of interviews. I forget how many hours, but she claimed that she had sat with the guy for just several days. What did you think of his testimony?
Well, it's interesting, but like any testimony, like any evidence, it has to be vetted. I would like to know the man's name. I'd like to know the details of his history. Yep. I'd like to see his military record. I'd like to see all of that before I say, yes, he seems legitimate, or no, he's not legitimate.
Let's maybe give our listeners a little thumbnail sketch of some of the things that he alleged, and so that people who haven't had the chance maybe to see that testimony or read about it can be brought up to speed.
Yeah. A gentleman probably in his 70s, I would guess, who was videotaped and appeared to be in a motel room somewhere, interviewed by Richard Dolan, who's a very skilled UFO investigator with a very good reputation in the community, I think, interviewing this gentleman about his career in the military and how he had been trained in signals. Right. Essentially in the electronic branch of, I think, the U.S. Army, as he said.
Cryptology. He was a cryptologist.
He was tasked in various responsibilities, tasked to do several things that suggested to him that the UFO phenomenon was real. Why he's remaining anonymous, why he would appear in the video so everybody can see his face, but on the other hand, remain anonymous to the viewers, I couldn't figure out. Didn't make sense to me.
Plus, he was in very poor health. He said his kidneys were about ready to shut down, and he didn't really have long to live, is the feeling that one got from looking at him. And he did sound pretty weak and not in very good health.
I wonder, though, when you have a case like that where somebody is at death's door, they have no vested interest and no reason to lie. Do they want to go out in a blaze of glory? What?
And that raises the question of why he chose to remain anonymous to his audience in the video. I didn't understand that at all. He's certainly showing his face, so people in the government are going to know who he is.
Right.
If in fact he had a career in the military. So it was very interesting. He said a lot of interesting things about what he had been witness to in his long career in the military. Now the work begins. Let's start analyzing what he said in detail and try to document it. That would be my approach to it, and I presume it would be the same for Richard Dolan or Linda Moulton Howe, who presented that film, I guess, sort of jointly. I don't know what the relationship is between the two of them with regard to investigating this case, but that is yet to be brought to the public.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to get Dolan back on the show and have him talk about this in more detail and see what happens. Now, the other issue, of course, be hypothetically, maybe this guy doesn't have a living family anymore. He's all alone, so it doesn't matter what happens.
Could be. I don't know. I can only but conjecture. That's why I call for an investigation of the case. I'd like an explanation of why he showed his face on a video, but he didn't share his name. That seems odd.
Yeah, it does seem odd. You'd think that they would have possibly filmed him in shadow or with dark glasses and a hat on or something to sort of obscure his features. I mean, it'd be very easy with even the most rudimentary facial recognition software to figure out who he is if you're so inclined. And especially, if he is ex-military or ex-CIA, that would be very easy for them to figure out who it is.
But if there could be no repercussions, who cares?
Exactly. So that's Peter's point exactly. Why expose yourself and expose your physical nature and not and divulge your name as well? It kind of made me scratch my head a little bit. And quite frankly, some of the things that he was alleging do run counter to the pop culture view of some of these things that I think, well, what did he say, that we first actually were in contact with these extraterrestrials, I think in the late 50s, if I'm not mistaken, which runs counter to some people's belief that Eisenhower was made aware of them very early in his presidency, possibly at Holloman Air Force Base.
I think he did address the Eisenhower administration.
Yeah, but I think he said 59, I think, is when he said the actual meeting took place. And it didn't sound like the stories that we've heard over the years of the Holloman encounter with the big-nosed grays or the oranges or however that sort of, it's almost an urban myth, I think, by now. But, when he was supposedly going to the dentist in Palm Springs, he snuck out to Holloman or something. I forget the details of the, probably something coming from John Lear. I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe he's afraid of dentists.
Yeah, possibly. Or the big-nosed grays had exalted dental technology or something. Maybe he needed some real extra special work.
Who knows? It's an example of how much work there is to be done by ufologists. When you present a case like this, or a witness, an alleged witness, then all the vetting has to be done. The details of what he has to say has got to be investigated and corroborated, and only then can you say that this testimony is true or not true.
Well, you would think that Linda, having met him back in the early 90s, would have done quite a bit of investigation and research about his background and really dug into it. And she would have, you would think, come forward now that he's come out with, kind of the encouragement from Richard Dolan, that Linda would say, yes, I've checked into this guy. He is who he says he is. I haven't heard any of that from her.
Yeah. Well, she's both an investigator and a reporter, and sometimes you hop back and forth between you wear both those hats.
Well, she also kind of sounds like a genetic scientist, the way she comes up with these blanket statements that aliens are here gathering genetic material for cloning experiments. I mean, it's pretty cut and dried and direct. I would love to see a paper on that, you know.
Yep. And why an alien would be collecting terrestrial DNA is not clear to me, because terrestrials may not use DNA to pass information from one generation to the next,
right,
which I presume takes place.
Well, she says that they're collecting it from cattle. Well, my argument to that has been for years, well, if they're collecting genetic material and blood and fluids and stuff from cattle for some sort of genetic cloning project, as she claims, why not just break into a slaughterhouse or a rendering plant and you get as much blood and fluid as you could possibly ever want? Why do you have
buy
to pick
hamburger,
on...
Yeah. Buy a pound of hamburger at the local market. Why do they have to butcher the animal? Doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense at all.
Well, of course, you can also go to a doctor's office and steal a few samples, a few blood samples for human beings. There's another argument that...
Go to a blood
bank. Why does E.T. need to collect the genetic samples from millions of people? Why can't they just collect from each sexual and racial category? And that's it. Yeah. Young, old, how long does it take? Although there are theories that there are genetic messages that are kept there in one's DNA. I mean, those are things we can argue about, but I don't know if it makes any sense to get into that.
Peter,
we're getting into unknown territory.
Peter, how come aliens still collect rock samples and pick flowers and look and appear to look at them like they don't know what they are? Don't you think it would just take something the size of a beer keg in orbit around the planet that would, even with our technology, be able to ascertain incredible amounts of facts and data? Why do they always seem to be kind of playing out this explorer landing and looking around and seeing things for the first time? They've been here for probably thousands of years. How come they're still having to collect, pick up rocks like they've never seen them before?
Before Peter answers that question, we have to stop to do our break. We are engaged in a fascinating discussion with Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Council, and we're trying to figure out what's happening with UFOs, what the various sources could be, where they come from. Are they really E.T.? With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at doomsdayexpo.com. Doomsdayexpo.com. Preparation starts here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
From the National UFO Reporting Center, which has been around for many years, and I remember when Robert Gribble was in touch with it before you took over, Peter Davenport, we're talking here about, I guess, the strange things that happen when creatures are seen about UFOs, where they seem to kind of repeat the same scene over and over again, like you're playing a loop. They're collecting soil samples, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing the other thing, which seems to argue against just a simple alien visitation. How many times do they need to do the same thing before they get the evidence they need or the data, whatever? Peter?
Well, I don't have an adequate answer for that. The only thing I can say is we may be dealing with different strains, different species of aliens that visit this planet. My suspicion is that if there is one civilization in our galaxy outside our own, that is, there must be many of them. What we may be looking at is just different species coming here, and they're interested in the science of our planet. They would collect inorganic material as well as organic material, just the way scientists today on the planet Earth are collecting that information about the species that they encounter around the world. So I don't know that it's so unusual what they do. I don't know how many reports there are or may be of aliens collecting rock samples and water samples and so on. And
picking flowers.
Biological samples as well. I'd like to know that the answer to that question first.
Yeah. You know, when I think of something like E.T., where you had the childlike alien creature depicted in the Steven Spielberg film, I think space camp. So the aliens go to Earth, a typical planet.
We're a science project.
Planet, maybe we're considered very primitive to them. And they say, okay, we're now going to collect samples, just like you dissect a frog in elementary school. Now, how many frogs do you have to dissect before you get the information you need? It's not that. It's training the children a little bit about biology. So we have the alien kids go to space camp, and they come to Earth or other planets, and they take samples, not because they need those samples. It's to train these kids how it's done. Peter, what do you think about that?
I like it. We're a giant science project.
There are many, many, many plausible explanations. Presumably one or only very few of them are correct. This is where science comes in to try to get samples, a sample of the events you allude to. How many alien species visit our planet? We don't have an adequate explanation for that question, I feel. In fact, we don't even have proof, hard proof that everybody accepts that one species visits the planet. The scenario that you've spun is quite possible, Gene. Now we have where the hard work comes in is trying to prove it. And that's what I'm engaged in, I feel, as a scientist. I'm trained in the scientific method. I have a graduate degree in genetics and biochemistry. I recognize how difficult coming up with answers to those questions are. The questions are simple to formulate. The answers to those questions are much more difficult to come up with in a satisfactory fashion. I don't know the answer to the question, but I do feel there's enough evidence in the UFO domain to warrant aggressive, detailed investigation of the phenomenon.
You have to think, Peter, that we really need to get a hold of something here, and the question is here, in terms of the governments, if our government or any government has guilty knowledge, not just that UFOs may be ET, but they are in communication with those beings. How do we bring disclosure? How do we make them tell what they know?
Well, we elect people to office who run on a platform of the truth.
Yeah, but you kind of think that we've had presidential candidate, I'm thinking of Carter, who seemed to want to get to the bottom of it. But what seems to happen is the day they're in office, the agenda always changes.
Or Clinton. There's another example.
Sure,
apparently, dispatched one of his lifelong friends, who was writing a book, to find out the truth to the answers to two questions, I should say. Number one, who killed Kennedy and why? And the other one was UFOs. Is the phenomenon real or not? And Webster Hubble was not able to do that. However, I suspect that Clinton woke up, even if he had not been briefed on the UFO phenomenon, he woke up very quickly on the evening of the 13th of March, 1997, My suspicion is, and this is pure conjecture, this is an interesting coincidence, that President Clinton's injury that he allegedly sustained down in Florida when he was spending that night at the home of Greg Norman may have been related to the Phoenix Lights. The president's injury took place within seconds or minutes of the intercept of that huge craft over Phoenix.
Enlighten us. What happened to him? I forgot about this little detail.
Well,
what happened to him?
The morning of Thursday, the 13th of March, 1997, the President of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton, flew from Washington, D.C. down to Florida to spend the day playing golf with Greg Norman, the Australian professional golfer. That night, President Clinton spent the night at the home of Greg Norman, and that is when the President allegedly sustained extensive injuries to his knee. He collapsed or fell or injured it somehow and was spirited back to Washington, D.C., again, allegedly. Well, that injury, and I've been talking about this phenomenon now for over 16 years, I brought this to the attention of the American public the night after the Phoenix Lights event had occurred. My suspicion is the president may, if in fact he was injured, that he may have been injured in the course of his being taken from the home of Greg Norman to a military safe area. And in the haste to get him to that military facility, they may have injured him as the Secret Service was chaperoning him out of the home of Greg Norman.
Interesting, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Because, boy, once they get the order to move, boy, they do move.
I mentioned earlier in this program that I've talked to senior military officers. One of the bits of information I've received from a senior officer is that, yes, indeed, U.S. military forces were elevated from Defense Condition 5 to Defense Condition 3 as a result of the Phoenix Lights intercept. One of the objects was intercepted by two F-15C C-model fighters over the intersection of Indian School Road and 7th Avenue.
Right.
Well, it was shortly after that that allegedly U.S. military forces were elevated to Defense Condition 3, DEFCON 3. That's one step short of global warfare, I'm told. I know very little about the defense condition levels, and that's for good reason. The military doesn't share them publicly. So my suspicion is the President of the United States, President Clinton, if he didn't know about UFOs before the night of the Phoenix Lights event, he certainly did the night of that event, and he may have been injured as a result of
it. That would be an interesting question for somebody to ask him at a press conference, just kind of spring that one out of nowhere and say, hey, by the way, Bill, remember that night that you messed up your knee? How did that actually happen?
Yeah. Well, that actually happened on the Jay Leno program. It was Thursday night, Thanksgiving evening of 2001. It was not President Clinton. It was Greg Norman, the golfer, who was a guest, the featured guest on the Jay Leno program. And in fact, that was the first question that Jay Leno posed to his guest. What actually happened to the president?
We'll have to have the answer in our next segment. What did he say when Jay Leno posed that question? We have Peter Davenport joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
What's more amazing than a Swiss Army knife? A survival business card. It's 11 functions rolled into one pocket-sized tool, including a sharp knife, a saw, a bottle opener, and a can opener, too. It even has a wrench. It lays flat, fits right in your wallet. A survival multi-tool for your wallet, leather-like sheath included, designed to be practical and built to last. Yours free. That's right, free. Claim yours right now while supplies last at freesurvivaltool.com. Again, that's freesurvivaltool.com. Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have two more segments, folks, and on this segment, Chris will read a few questions from our audience from the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. Okay, Peter, Jay Leno asked the question about Clinton. What was the response?
Well, Greg Norman stated, as I remember, this is now almost 12 years ago, he gave the standard conventional response. The president and he were standing out in the driveway of his home, and the president had a ham sandwich, and he was holding a beverage of some variety. I think he said a soft drink. And the president's knee just gave way, and he collapsed in the driveway of Greg Norman's home. That's what I recall. This could be documented by going back to the archive of the environmental program.
That sounds a little kind of fishy to me.
Yeah, particularly given that the president was a jogger. Probably the musculature in his legs was probably in pretty good shape. But I don't know. This is the problem in dealing with a government that is insensitive to its people, the electorate.
Yeah.
I've actually called the U.S. Air Force office in the Pentagon and requested documentation confirmation as to whether U.S. military forces were elevated from DEFCON 5 to DEFCON 3 on March 13, 1997. And, of course, they all but laughed at me. They said, this is not material that we generally release. Although, I don't believe that statement because from time to time we do hear reports that the U.S. military is raised to an elevated defense condition. What do you do with people who are in the military or elected officials who lie to the people who put them there? Well, my reaction is fire them. Get rid of them.
Well, then you'd have nobody working there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that we should be talking about the government and their responsibility to the electorate. I have a question here from one of our longtime posters, Spooky Mulder, he calls himself, and he's asking an interesting question. And he says, if you guys don't mind, I'll let you format this question if it's relevant. But, Peter, have you ever weighed in one way or another publicly on the arrangement, the apparent arrangement between Robert Bigelow and his aerospace company, UFO reports going to him once they're people contact the FAA, and they're told to call Bigelow Aerospace to make the report. Have you ever weighed in publicly on that?
Absolutely, I have. In fact, I fought the apparent decision by the FAA in June of 2001 to shift their policy from forwarding reports to the FAA or from the FAA to the National UFO Reporting Center. We had enjoyed those reports for probably 20 years or so. And when NIDS made that statement, I think it was the 21st of June, 2000, the year 2000, I guess it was, not 2001, we contested it, and we got it took us 9 or 10 months to get the FAA to reverse their decision. Why they made that decision, I don't know. What took place between NIDS or Bigelow or Alexander and the FAA in Washington, D.C., I don't know, but we were successful. I made the proposal to the FAA that what they should do is simply publish contact information for 6 or 8 of the major UFO investigative bodies, MUFON, FUFOR, CUFOS, the National UFO Reporting Center, NIDS, NARCAP, and so on. Just publish them in their AIM, the Airman's Information Manual, and let the FAA or an individual decide whom he wished to contact. That was my proposal. In the final analysis, the FAA chose NIDS, the National Institute for Discovery Science, the organization set up by Bob Bigelow, headed by Colin Kelleher, and the National UFO Reporting Center. So those two organizations appear published in that FAA handbook.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's always rubbed me the wrong way that reports of this nature can disappear into the black hole known as Bigelow Aerospace or formerly known as NIDS. It doesn't serve the public, I think, in the short term and in the long run. And I think it's creating even more problems around this whole issue of secrecy and transparency. To me, it's not right. And I think that everyone should have access to this type of data. I think that if one group is given preference over others, it just doesn't serve the public good. And, you know, I really admire the work that you've done. And I have a question here from a very good ufologist who's up in Calgary, Alberta, and he wants to know if you've considered instituting some kind of rating system for the reporting center based on any standard of UFO reporting, such as Valet's rating system or the Hynek system. And, for example, he says, in Hynek system, uncorroborated reports were never given a probability rating higher than 3 out of 9. And he's wondering what percentage of your reports in the database would fall into this uncorroborated category. I know that's a really difficult question off the top of your head, but give us kind of a ballpark.
Yeah, well, I don't have a rating system because I don't have a staff, I don't have a budget, I don't have a facility, and I don't have the time. I'm working as hard as I can to handle the now roughly between 500 and 1,000 reports that come to our center, and I'm falling behind faster and faster and farther and farther.
Well, how do we get you some help?
Do you have a budget for me?
Well, yeah, let's get a budget and some help for you. I think you deserve it. If anybody out there deserves it, you're the guy.
Well, let me ask you a question here, Peter, though. The difficult question here. If Bob Bigelow comes up and says, Peter, here's $500,000, but we control the release or lack thereof of the information, how would you react?
Well, I address that. I mentioned earlier in this program that I met with Bob Bigelow and his staff on two occasions, October 6th, 1995, and then again the 29th of July, 1999. And after that second meeting, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted an unfettered access to all the data that came to the National UFO Reporting Center, and he wanted the best cases that came into us for follow-up investigation. And that was the sticking point, is what we do with the cases, the good cases. And he didn't want them posted to our website. He said, we're not going to release those good cases. We're going to investigate them quietly and get to the bottom of them. And I said, well, Bob, that's not what I want to do. And that was the beginning of the parting of ways between Bob Bigelow and Peter Davenport. Mm. He was very cordial. He was very friendly. He was very considerate. I find him a very interesting guy. I've enjoyed our conversations, but we have different philosophies with regard to what should be done with the data that comes to our center. So,
well, he obviously doesn't think us lowly people have a need or a right to know any of this information.
Yeah.
And to me, it's really sad.
I agree, and that was my reaction. I feel this information that I collect belongs to the American people. That's the philosophy that keeps me moving forward. If we're being visited by UFOs and the government is going to lie to the American people and the press is not going to cover that, certainly at the national level, then that is all the motivation I need to continue doing what I'm doing to share this information with the American people. This is crucially important information, and my life is dedicated to getting that information out to the American people.
Well, if we have somebody in the audience who has a spare $500,000 or $1 million, and there are no conditions other than the money be used to fund research.
Or have some time that they could devote to help Peter out.
Well, the first thing we need is a much greater organization with staff members and with a facility where staff members can gather and do the work and answer the telephone. But until that happens, I'm limited to working on my own. And it's been pretty successful. I think the National UFO Reporting Center has the largest database of UFO reports available on the internet today.
Yeah.
And that's one person with one telephone, one computer, one tape recorder, and one very dedicated webmaster.
We have one segment left of our session with Peter Davenport with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web app such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple. A case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. BensDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. BensDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out BensDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click BensDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on BensDiscountSupply.com.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Yeah, Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Chris has a little bit more input from the question bank section at forum.theparacast.com. Chris?
I do indeed, Gene. This is from Lenny from Maine, who's been a Paracast listener since October of 2012. And he hasn't posted much on the forum, but he did post a question for you. And we kind of touched on this at the beginning of the show, Peter, but Lenny wants to know what your thoughts are on the event that we've been talking about, the citizens' hearing on disclosure. And you mentioned that you thought that this could possibly have some sort of impact, more so than we're seeing right now. And he wants to know what effect do you think that event can have in the long run, and also, do you have any suggestions for better ways to successfully get mainstream coverage of events like that and still get this and have it be serious coverage?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've got to close a door here to silence a lawnmower outside. Good question. In fact, I think the citizen hearing for disclosure has already had an effect. The last night of the hearings, the New York Times published an article for the first time in its history on the subject of UFOs, except possibly for Leslie Kane's very nice article and writings in years past. But that was a breakthrough.
Yeah,
what has taken the New York Times so long to address the subject, I don't know, because the Chicago Tribune and the Los Angeles Times both have done major articles on major events. There was a front page article about the National UFO Reporting Center on the front page of the LA Times on Friday, the 28th of March, 2008. Why the New York Times has been so slow to rise to this, I don't know. Rise to the subject and cover it is a mystery to me.
It was also a very fair and balanced article. Yeah.
They have covered it in the past, but they've really slammed this subject and they've given it no real credence, really. I mean, they've just kind of just been very offhand. There have been articles, but this is the first one that they've actually been objective, even-handed, and even positive.
I agree, and that's the first good effect. I think also the members of the committee at the citizens' hearing are going to write a letter to their colleagues who are still in Congress urging them to pay attention and to reveal to the American people what the U.S. government may know. I suspect even senior members of Congress may not know the truth about this.
Yeah.
And it underscores the danger, once again, underscores the danger of a military-industrial complex that is insensitive to the interests and needs and demands of the American people.
Yeah.
So it launches us into the political arena fairly quickly. That just waking people up is a first good step, I think.
Well, the thing you also have to see here is that it's also possible that one way to keep a secret like this is to send it to the military-industrial complex. You send it out to private industry. So you can say with plausible deniability, we don't have the information. It's not here.
I think it'll have a positive effect, and the members of the committee at the hearing were, some of them had considerable tenure and seniority in Congress. These are people who can't be ignored, even though they're no longer in Congress. They still have colleagues there who, whom they consider to be friends, and they may be successful in convincing people who are still in Congress to press the issue. And I don't, probably the use of the word threaten the military is too strong, but Congress controls the purse strings. They can say, we want to know, or else we're not going to fund certain programs.
Yeah, I really seriously doubt that they're going to make any headway with the U.S. Congress. That's my own personal feeling. But I think the idea that Danny Sheehan and some of the volunteers that have been helping out writing some sort of proposal to be submitted to the General Assembly of the UN, get a country to sponsor some sort an idea for a commission, a multi-international sort of multi-discipline commission looking at the subject, because quite frankly, I really don't see much hope for any changes in the U.S. government's position on this subject. You can't admit to the people that you've been lying for 60 years, and you can't admit that you're not in control of the situation, which obviously they're not. So, I mean, that's my own personal feelings, but I do think the idea of some sort of UN initiative would be a logical, place to go. And I know they're working on drafting language for that.
But in this country, we don't pay attention to the UN as much as maybe we should. The other question I'll have, Peter, and we only have about 4 minutes left for the segment, so we can take this to another episode. What about gradual disclosure as we become more and more aware that life exists elsewhere in the universe? Water on Mars, water on the moon, finding these so-called M-type or Goldilocks planets around other star systems. That gets people accustomed to the possibility.
That's a possibility. Maybe that's what the government is doing, but I take the position that government in Washington, D.C. works for me. They are there to accommodate my interests. And I don't think they should be meeting out this information slowly. I think they have a responsibility to share with the American people what they know about this phenomenon. That's what I think they should be doing.
I agree, but it's not going to happen.
Irrespective of whatever the ramifications they may be, and it's up to the American people and the American voters. If they're dissatisfied with what's going on, they should put different people in Congress instead of voting for the same tired, old, lame liars that are maybe not telling us the truth, or they're not pressing the military and the members of the administration for what they know on the subject. No. That's my response.
There's also the feeling here that a lot of people in Congress are funded by corporate interests that have their own concerns, and that's not one of them. They're not working for us. They're working for the people who give them the campaign donations so they can run for re-election.
I agree with that statement. I think the American people are going to have to wake up and start pressing their elected officials more aggressively for what they know on this subject. But trying to get the American people to wake up is one of the greatest challenges in the American scene today. Most people are lazy with regard to politics.
Look, most people are walking around in a state of waking coma.
Most Americans, I think, with regard to politics and what takes place in Washington, are as asleep as Ichabod Crane was. And they've got to awaken, and they've got to start pressing their elected officials to tell them the truth on every subject. Starting with Benghazi, the most recent case.
Right. Well, you know what, Benghazi I have opinions on. I don't want to get into the politics of that. But I think whatever it is, at the very least, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you agree there were screw-ups. And instead of arguing about the talking points, which is an issue, it is, how do you fix the problem? How do you make diplomats safer from attack from any source? And if people screw up, they should be fired. They should have their hats handed to them, send them out, goodbye. I think that's the most important thing to say about that. Otherwise, we get into a political discussion that really isn't germane to what we're dealing at here. In the remaining minute, Peter Davenport, tell our listeners more about the National UFO Reporting Center and how they can get involved or at least contact you.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate the opportunity to appear here. It's been a lot of fun. And if there are people, listeners, who have been witness to UFOs, irrespective of whether it was 8 minutes ago or 8 decades ago, I'd like them to submit written reports using our online report form at ufocenter.com. I estimate that out of 20,000 people who've been witness to a UFO sighting or what may have been a UFO, only one of those people's ever reported it in a meaningful, that is, written fashion.
That's huge.
So, and if they've had recent sightings, I'd invite them to contact our hotline at UFO Center, or our hotline telephone number is area code 206-722-3000. That's 206-722-3000. And submit a written follow-up written report, again, using our online report form at ufocenter.com.
And we have a link over at thepowercast.com, which is our portal for more information. Go to forum.thepowercast.com to participate in our discussion forums and post your questions to our guests in the question bank. We're also found on Facebook, the Powercast Fan Club. It's the Powercast on Twitter, and Chris O'Brien's site is called OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com. Peter Davenport, thanks for joining us on the Powercast.
Thank you, gentlemen. I've enjoyed it. We'll do it again sometime, maybe.
The Powercast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Powercast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes?
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.